Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. This week, the murderous, filthy band of criminals and thugs that styles itself the federal government of the United States of America, and the even more evil and lawless entity that issues its marching orders, murdered a colleague of mine, the writer, activist, and attorney for the damned, Edgar Steele. Edgar J. Steele, who shared the podium with me on several occasions in New Orleans and Hillsborough, West Virginia, and delivered some of the most moving words I have ever heard in defense of our race and nation, died in his cell, according to his friends, drugged out of his mind against his will, and callously denied the medical treatment he so desperately needed. One friend he had made in the hellhole that is the federal prison in Victorville, California, was conveniently sent away just before Mr. Steele was shot up with dope and killed. Since his nightmare existence in Victorville began, he was never allowed, not even once, to receive a visit from his loving and devoted wife, Cindy. From that day forward, until his death on Thursday, he was denied the right to look into her eyes as they spoke, denied the touch of her hands, and denied her embrace, an act of unspeakable cruelty. The Victorville complex has been described as a roach motel. The inmates go in alive, but they don't come out that way, where troublesome prisoners are sent to be forgotten, never heard from again, and in due time, die. Edgar Steele himself called it the Auschwitz of America. Auschwitz was a World War II labor camp in Poland, where many thousands died of typhus due to a near total lack of medical and other supplies after Allied bombings of supply lines. It's a place known to have, in Steele's own words, a high number of inmate deaths arising from other inmate murders, and toxic drinking water. There are about 1,300 inmates there, and six of them made the newspaper headlines by dying there in just the last 11 months, some violently, some because of a lack of medical care. And those are just the ones who made it into the papers. Edgar Steele was a man with a Mencken-esque wit, razor-sharp logic, and the courage, honesty, and philosophical integrity to stand up for right, even when wrong was triumphing all around him. He was a successful lawyer and had much to lose by challenging the powers that be and breaking the sacred taboos of this dark time. He defended Pastor Richard Butler, whose Aryan Nations church was slated for destruction by Jewish groups. He defended those with little hope and less money who were being persecuted because they spoke some politically incorrect words that the tyranny has forbidden us to speak. His eyes were opened. A hater of no man, he saw the actions of the real haters in planning and executing the ongoing genocide of white people, and he spoke up boldly to awaken Americans to their danger. And he did not hesitate to name the driving force, Jewish power, behind that hatred. He spoke via radio and began a popular website and email newsletter for his increasingly popular writings. He spoke at David Duke's European American conferences. He appeared at National Alliance events. He wrote a book, Defensive Racism, to communicate to whites the extremity of their plight and the urgent need for corrective action. In 2004, current National Alliance director Will Williams sent Edgar Steele a collection of recordings of American Dissident Voices broadcasts by William Pierce, the founder of the Alliance. The following, in part, is Edgar Steele's response to that gift, some of which was sadly prophetic of his own fate. Quote, "I spent this past weekend with Dr. William L. Pierce, founder of the National Alliance. In fact, he had an extended visit with my whole family. Mind you, I always found his writing to be cogent and to the point. However, his verbal delivery adds a dimension of clarity and persuasiveness that is not apparent in the written word. What Pierce had to say 4 and 5 years ago is even more compelling today. The issues are the same, but substantially worse. I can all but hear him talking about the need to drive a stake through the heart of today's Bush administration. Always, Pierce spoke forcefully about taking back America and reversing the drive toward diversity and multiculturalism. More than anyone else, perhaps, Pierce spoke endlessly about the role of Jews in the ongoing destruction of America. Go to nationalvanguard.org for a posting there just today about the ADL's incredible demand that political dissenters on the internet be punished. The ADL declare, quote, "Hate on the internet cannot be entirely unregulated. Law enforcement officials should actively police the web, preventing and punishing online libel and defamation," close quote. Hate and libel and defamation are the code words used by the ADL when it speaks of the content of newsletters like the one you're now reading. If the ADL has its way, as it eventually will, I will be shut down and imprisoned for these irregular mutterings, and you will hear nothing but the unadulterated party line and outright lies now fed you by the mainstream media and your elected representatives. This is the very sort of thing that people like Dr. Pierce and I have been fighting for years now. It is the silence of most Americans that makes it possible for such an exceedingly small minority to be regimenting us in this fashion. I was privileged to be the first to speak at length in the new Pierce Memorial Hall in Hillsborough, West Virginia, 2 months ago, during the NA's semi-annual leadership conference. It sounds hokey, but it seemed as though Dr. Pierce's spirit was there with us. I certainly felt his presence as I stood in what should have been his place and spoke to his followers about individual initiative in the ever-growing police state of America. In deciding whether to support the current American regime, there is very little that one need remember. Remember that Nazi war criminals were hanged, yet there was no founded allegations of torture by them. Contrast that with America's official program of torture, which was approved at the highest levels and performed in your name. Remember that the Nuremberg war crimes trials held that the most heinous of war crimes occurs when one country militarily invades another without provocation. Even America's hand-picked 9/11 commission, chosen to whitewash the administration, concluded there was no connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Remember the nonstop lies that have come to us from Washington, D.C. in recent years. Remember the economic abyss we now face. Remember the race war that rages in American streets, a war which will only worsen as the tide of demographics relentlessly rolls over us. Remember how our youth have been subverted, corrupted, and destroyed at every turn by those to whom we entrusted our children. Remember how our comrades continue to be picked up and imprisoned on the flimsiest of excuses. Remember the countless fine young men and women who have been killed and maimed to advance the cause of Israel in Iraq and Afghanistan, while Israel merely stands by and continues to suck America dry, buying off her politicians with our own tax dollars. The time has come to stand and be counted. New America, an idea whose time has come. Close quote. You can read Edgar Steele's whole article on William Pierce at the White Biocentrism Forum. With a flair for making complex ideas easily understood, and entertaining his readers in the process, and moving them at a deep emotional level, and with a tractor trailer load of credibility, Edgar Steele was making a difference. Someone in the post-9/11 hierarchy of our would-be masters decided that Edgar Steele had to go, that Edgar Steele needed to be made an example of. And what they did to him far outstrips what they did to David Duke, to Chester Doles, or to me. Edgar Steele was arrested in 2010 and convicted in 2011 of plotting to murder his wife, Cindy, in order to collect a life insurance payoff and then run off with a supposed Ukrainian girlfriend. It was the strangest murder-for-hire prosecution in American history. To begin with, there could never have been any insurance payoff because the insurance in question had been canceled. Second, even the alleged victim maintained from the very outset that her husband was innocent and that the evidence against him was a tissue of lies and impossible fabrications from beginning to end. Third, Cindy Steele states she was well aware of Edgar Steele's Ukrainian correspondence, so voluminous that it could never have been hidden from anyone living in the same house, which involved research for a book and had nothing to do with leaving Cindy or running away with anyone. The testimony against Mr. Steele came almost entirely from a ne'er-do-well handyman turned FBI asset named Larry Fairfax. According to Cindy Steele, Larry Fairfax, possibly with the collusion of the FBI, stole a large quantity of silver that constituted part of the Steele family's retirement savings. Fairfax, coached by the FBI, alleged at trial that he didn't steal the silver, saying instead that it was paid to him by Edgar Steele in return for Fairfax planting a pipe bomb on Cindy Steele's car. Third, FBI asset Fairfax didn't just talk about planting a bomb on Cindy Steele's vehicle. He actually did plant such a bomb on her car, a live one that could easily have killed her and others if an astute garage mechanic had not spotted it in time. Planting a live bomb that came within a millimeter of killing Cindy Steele is an act that would hardly have been necessary if Fairfax was what he claimed to be, a reluctant pawn in Edgar Steele's plot, righteously reporting all to the FBI. Neither the FBI nor Fairfax ever warned Cindy that she was in danger, by the way, as she blithely drove around, shuttling her family to the store and here and there, with instant bloody death right under the floorboards. It seems to this writer far more likely that the FBI didn't care if or actually wanted someone or more than one to end up dead. And those someones who would have ended up dead certainly included Edgar and Cindy Steele. Their children were also likely to be killed by whoever was the real plotter. Looks like they got their dirty wish on Thursday. Larry Fairfax, admittedly working under FBI direction, is the only person who tried to kill Cindy Steele, and no one knows that better than Cindy Steele. And Larry Fairfax got a sweetheart deal in court and is a free man today. At Edgar Steele's farcical trial, the jury was not allowed to hear the most crucial defense evidence, as the sitting federal judge even disallowed evidence on the grounds that it might make the FBI and prosecutors, quote-unquote, look bad. For example, the FBI produced audio recordings of alleged conversations between Steele and Fairfax, in which Edgar Steele was supposedly offering to pay Fairfax to kill Cindy. The Steele family hired two world-renowned audio experts to examine these recordings, and they found an astonishing 350 anomalies indicating that the recordings had been tampered with through edits, splices, and deletions. The evidence was overwhelming that these recordings were outright frauds. Yet, again and again, in a barrage of nonsensical and contradictory rulings, both experts were utterly forbidden to speak a single word in front of the jury, leaving the jurors with the impression that neither Edgar Steele nor his defense team had any reason to doubt the FBI recordings or the tale they told about them. And there is strong evidence that Edgar Steele's defense lawyer, a former federal prosecutor and under the gun for his own crimes, threw the case to avoid prosecution himself. Now that Edgar Steele is dead, the appeal he was planning with an entirely new defense team will never be heard. Neither possibly will the lawsuit against the lawyers who misrepresented him and participated in his outrageous railroading for a crime he did not commit. No jury will ever hear from the audio experts now. No jury will hear Cindy Steele tell them why the claims made about her husband could not possibly be true. No jury will learn about the real would-be killer, Larry Fairfax, and his good friends at the FBI, and their good friends in the nice Jewish groups that are always ever so helpful to those paragons of law enforcement and their bank accounts. And these murderers of Edgar Steele are no doubt wringing their blood-spattered hands with glee at the thought that no jury and no one ever will hear the earnest and truthful and uplifting words of Edgar J. Steele again. Well, they'd be wrong on those two counts. We and many others are going to make sure that Edgar J. Steele's words will be heard again and again for years to come. And you may be sure that in the new America, the real murderers will be put on trial and a fully informed jury will hear all the evidence. To honor the life and work of Edgar Steele, we'll continue to promote his writings on National Vanguard and other National Alliance media like the White Biocentrism Forum. His was a worthy life, and his works deserve to be read by the rising generations of young men and women who will one day free our people. Unlike others who have defamed or tried to exploit his name, we will not alter or add to his words. Edgar J. Steele, in whatever part of time-space you may be, I hope you can hear my words and the words of the thousands of others whose lives you changed. Your life and your works will not be forgotten. Your love for your wife and family and theirs for you will not be forgotten. The identity of the liars who tore you from your children and your Cindy will not be forgotten. The unspeakably filthy nature of their lies will not be forgotten. The identity of your murderers, in your last public statement you said they rhyme with news, will not be forgotten. And the new nation, the new America you helped to inspire, will be born. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance membership organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680 USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680 USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. Shout to the sky.